Right? Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came unto the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return to the country from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. That she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they might be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were here, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've included this story in the historical accounts of our Bible, and that you've presented it in such a way that you might teach us lessons from it. Just give us the wisdom and the understanding through your Holy Spirit, that we might learn what you have for us in this little book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the book of Ruth, as I said, it's right there between Judges and 1 Samuel. And Ruth is just a little interlude, and it's kind of an unusual book in that there were some people didn't want to include it in the Bible. They thought, well, this doesn't have anything to say about Jesus or the Messiah or anything like that. It's just a little individual story. Why is this included? Well, God included it. He intended to. He included it. It's always been included, and it's there for a reason. And I think God has a lot to teach us a lot from this. It's definitely a historical book. There's no reason to think anything but that Ruth and Naomi and all these characters are not real people that happened in a real time and a real place, just like Luke told us about Paul and where he was and all that. It's just as real. But God chose to include this in his word for a reason. Now, it starts off and it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So the time frame for this is somewhere during the book of Judges. Okay, the book of Judges starts off at the death of Joshua, and it goes through these various judges. You know, you've got, you know, Samson and people like that that God used over his people there in the promised land. So they're in the promised land at this time. So this book of Ruth occurs in that time period. But it said, during that time, there was a famine in the land. Okay, so they're in the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. But for some period of time, there was a famine. Okay, they had some tough times. Well, they did. We know how the book of Judges goes. God keeps judging them because they've disobeyed. They've not driven out all the pagan people. They've adopted their gods. They start worshiping Baal, things like that. So various judgments come through. So they have some difficult times. So this is one point when there was a famine, there was a lack of food, whether it was a drought or whether it was being invaded by the Philistines or what had caused it, but there was a lack of food in the land. So there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Okay, well, we know about Bethlehem, right? We just had the cursing. Bethlehem is the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's where he was prophesied to be born. That's where he was born. And so this is going to talk about a man that's from that city of Bethlehem that's in Judah. It's in the south. And he went to sojourn or to live in the country of Moab. Okay. Now, why would he do that? Well, apparently there was more food in Moab and he left. But Moab is outside the promised land. He had to leave, cross the Jordan River, go back outside the promised land. And the Moabites were generally enemies of Israel. They fought against them. They were enemies. But he has left the promised land and gone to live there in search of food. And also he and his wife and his two sons. Okay, so there's the setting, historical setting of this story. This story is a historical setting, a historical story in real place with real people. But, well, you can see here first, we'll talk about the locations. You have the land of Israel. Okay. Get my light to shine. You have the land of Israel here where you can see, and then up at the upper left corner, that arrow is pointing to Bethlehem, which is just south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem there. And the land of the Moabites is on the other side of the Dead Sea. You would have to cross over either above the Dead Sea or down below the Dead Sea, cross over, but it's desert country, cross there. And then Moab is kind of a highlands there. And so that's where he's taking his family in search of food. Verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. Okay, so the emphasis in this verse are on the names. Who are these people's names? Okay, Scripture doesn't always tell us the names of the people, but here it very clearly tells us all their names. And I think the way we need to understand this story is by understanding the meaning of their names. Okay, are significant. God gave us these names. And means so Elimelech, El, okay, El is God. And Melech is king. So Elimelech means God is my king, or my God is king. So God is my king. So Elimelech, he represents the good state of a believer. Think of Adam before the fall. God is my king. I'm obedient to God in all things. Okay? God is my king. And then his wife's name is Naomi. And Naomi means pleasure, desirable, pleasant, pleasure. Okay, so now you've got God is my king, but now instead of his heart being set on God of all things, he's chosen to pursue pleasure, his own pleasure. Well, that's what Adam and Eve did, right? Here they are in the Garden of Eden. God said, here it is. Your job is to be fruitful and multiply and care for this garden. But you can eat of any of the trees of the garden except the tree that's in the midst of the garden. But then when Satan tempted them and said, ah, but look at the fruit of that forbidden tree. It's good to eat. It's desirable for knowledge. You shall be as gods. They chose pleasure over God being their king. And so that's where the relationship broke. And then what happened after that? God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Well, that's kind of the picture we have here. They're in the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, but because of difficult times, they've now quit trusting in God. God is my king has pursued pleasure, and they've gone out of the promised land, and they're in the land of God's enemies, in the land of Moab. And so they had two sons, which doesn't sound, their names are not very promising. Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sickness. Chilion means pining away. So if you named your kids that, it probably means things are not going real well, okay? So you've now got God is my king, married to pleasure, sounds great, but then the offspring of that relationship is sickness and pining away. And so they came to the country of Moab and they lived there. Okay. Now these names, this isn't an allegory in the sense of, well, I'm just making up a story. So sometimes I hear a lot of preachers and sometimes there's a lot of made up stuff in there. Okay. This is just straight. This is what Scripture says. And those names, just look at your Strong's Concordance. That's where the meanings of those names come from. They're not made up. These are the names that God put in that story. In its history. So there in the upper left is Bethlehem, and there's the land of Judah down to the southeast of the Dead Sea. That's where they've gone. That's what it looks like if you were standing near Jerusalem up high, looking across the Dead Sea into the land of Moab. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Okay, so this story starts off pretty tragically just to begin with. They've left the promised land, and then now she's there with her two sons, and her husband's dead. And she was left, and her two sons. So she and her two sons were left there on their own. And the two sons, they took them wives of the women of Moab. So they're living among the Moabites, they're living in the world, they're not living among God's people. So because of that, who do they find to marry? They find non-Jewish girls. They find pagan girls to marry. The women of Moab, and the one's name was Orpah, and the other's name was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So they spent about 10 years in the land of Moab. The father's dead, the boys have married, and they've married Orpah and Ruth. Okay? Well, Orpah actually means a mane. Okay? It's more focused, it's like a fawn or a, you know, a young horse or something with this mane and sort of thing. Well, not a big deal, but it's more focused on the external. Okay, the external. Maybe she had long, beautiful hair. She was, but it's just kind of an external type focus. And then there's Ruth, and her name means beauty, like inner beauty, the real beauty that comes from within, not just an external look, but the real quality of character there. So the focus is more internal. So now, Mahlon and Chilion died also. Okay, so far, this is not a very happy story. Both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So now she's not only a widow, she has no sons. Well, in those days, there's nobody left to support her. That's it. She has no support. Her husband is gone. Her sons are gone. She's destitute. There's nothing for her. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she came from Israel, the promised land, and now she's heard, word has come in, that there's bread there again. The famine is over for whatever reason. Bethlehem, where she's from, means the house of bread. That's the meaning of that name. So she's heard, she's like, well, I'm destitute here. I'm going back. I'm going to go back to my people. And she knows the laws of the Jews in Israel, how they take care of widows and orphans. And so now she and her daughters-in-law are widows. And so instead of staying in this pagan country, where she'll probably starve to death, she's going to go back to Israel. So again, tragedy, but really God is using it to get her back where she belongs. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. So off they go. They got to go get around the Dead Sea and back to Judah. They're going to go there where they can be provided for. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of her to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So now Naomi said, okay, you girls, why don't y'all just stay here? This is your people. You're young. You can find another husband, Mary. Go back to your home that you came from. Go back there, find someone else to marry, and stay among your people. I'm old, I don't have anything for you, and I'm going back to Israel. The Lord grant, and she's very complimentary, said, you've been good. You were good to your husbands. You took care of them. You've been good to me. No criticism at all. They're good girls. But she says, you know, stay here and establish a new family. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So she said, stay here, find you a husband, let the young widows marry again and do that. So here you've got a picture of Naomi is going back home. She's going back to the promised land. She's going back to God, where God is worshipped, the true God, the God of the Bible. But she said, you girls aren't from that. You aren't Jewish girls. You just stay here and may God, you know, hopefully your best chance to find a husband is here. Okay, stay here, get married again, and live a normal life. And may God prosper you. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They're emotionally attached. They're like, no, we'll go back with you wherever. You're our mother-in-law, you're our family now, so we'll go back with you over this hard journey. We'll go back with you. Both of them said that. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Wilt thou go with me? Yet are there more sons in my womb that you may have husbands? She's basically saying, I don't have anything to offer you. Stay here, where you can find someone you know and get married and this and that. Said, I don't have any other sons. You know, the law in Israel is the Levirate marriage. If a man died leaving his widow and they were childless, then she would marry his brother. And so they could have children and this and that. Well, both brothers are dead. That's it. There are no other sons. Naomi's husband's dead. There aren't going to be any other sons. And so she said, just stay here. That's your only chance to get married, and I'll return. You don't have to go with me. You're not obligated to me anymore. So turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have an husband also tonight and should bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they're grown? Would you stay with them, stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. He said, I don't have any other sons, and even if I got married today, it's going to be way too long before I could have sons that would be eligible for husbands. So here they are. They're grown, been married for 10 years, and she's like, there's no chance. She's not making it easy, saying, go with me. Okay, this is a great picture of she's heading back to God. Okay, these tragedies in her life are driving her back to God. These daughters-in-law are saying, okay, we'll go with you. And she's not making it easy. She's saying, no easy believism here. This is a picture of salvation. God doesn't do like many preachers do nowadays, is trying to make it really easy. Oh, just come down front here. Just come down and God will fill that void in your life and everything will be great. Your sins will be forgiven and everything from now on will just be great and wonderful. She's not doing that. She's saying, look, this is going to be hard. I can't promise you worldly success. I don't have anything else. I'm a widow. I'm going back to a land that I've left decade ago. I don't have any other sons. I don't have any promises for you. So if you want to seek your own worldly prosperity, I'd say, I suggest you just stay here. Well, it's the same with that. If you want worldly success, I don't suggest that you come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says you cannot serve both God and mammon. Okay. Now, he may prosper you. I'm not saying that all Christians are poor, because God has prospered some Christians greatly. But for the most part, worldly success doesn't come with Christianity. Okay? It's a separate thing. So he tells them, just go back. The best way, just stay here. You don't have to go with me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. Oh, it's emotional. It's so, oh no, we don't want to leave you. We love you. It's great. It's wonderful. So many people, you go through a revival service and you hear this great message and you get convicted. Oh, I'm such a sinner and I'm so bad. And oh, I want to be good and I need to give up all my sins and I want to please God. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll serve you always. I'll do all this kind of stuff. I'm all emotionally worked up. But are you really ready to go with him? Okay. At this point, you can't really tell. Both Orpah and Ruth say, no, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. And maybe they're partway down the road. They're getting, I assume at this point, maybe they're at the border of the country of Moab, getting ready to cross back into Israel. And they're ready to go. And so far, Orpah and Ruth look the same. They've both been faithful. They followed Naomi. And Naomi says, look, think it over. Make sure what you really want here. And she says, I don't have any husbands for you. If you want to get married and have kids and have somebody to support you, then go back to your land of Moab and your gods of Moab. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She kissed her goodbye. She said, okay, that's it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to find me a husband. I'm going to find a life here, the land I know, the things I know. That's where I'm going. And she went back. But Ruth clave unto her. Ruth said, no. I'm going to stick with you no matter what. Now, the difference, that's the way it is. I mean, many people come down at a crusade or revival or at church and this and that, but you know, you don't really know how they're going to turn out, do you? And I'm absolutely convinced that the Bible teaches once saved, always saved. If you really get saved, really converted, then it's going to stick. But you can't tell that just because somebody came down front here and they knelt and they said a little prayer. Was it external, like Orpah? Was it on the surface? Was it emotional? But in the end, she really chose to pursue the world? Or is it like Ruth, who had true inner character, and it's going to stick no matter what? Well, it shows up a few years later when you look at someone's life and see what's become of it. Have they stuck with God and their commitment to Him, their commitment to follow His life, or have they gone the world's way? And Ruth said, Naomi said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods, return thou to thy sister-in-law. So he's saying, you didn't just go back. I mean, it's not just her family. She's continued to worship the gods of Moab. Okay. Pagan gods. That's what she's going back to. That's the life she's going to. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Please don't ask me to leave you. I don't want to leave you. I want to stay with you. To return and following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Ruth has seen something in Naomi. She's learned about the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. And she says, I'm going to stick. And I'm going to stick unto death. That's the way it is. Christianity is a once for all thing. It's are you going to do this until death or not? And she said, no, I want to go with you. I want your God and your people. So whatever fate becomes of you, I'm going to trust. I've never been to this land of Israel, but I'm going to trust that. I'm going to go. It's just like when it comes down and they come to get saved and they say, God, whatever this brings, I want you. If this brings me prosperity, I still want you. If it brings me poverty, I still want you. If it brings me great health and wealth, if it brings me success, if it brings me suffering, it doesn't matter. I want you for the rest of my life, whatever it brings. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also, if aught but death, part me and thee. I think of the story. You remember Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, that did so many miracles, withheld the rain and then called the rain, and all these, God used him so greatly, that mighty prophet Elijah. And remember, God told him to go pick Elisha as his successor. And then at the end, when God is getting ready to call Elijah home, Elisha went with him, as he went everywhere. And then Elisha said, just stay here. God's told me to move on to the next place. You can just stay here. Be comfortable. I'm going on, you know, across the Jordan. I'm going to go on then. And Elisha said, I'm going with you wherever you go. I'm not staying behind. I'm going to go with you. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, I want to inherit your role as the prophet for Israel. I want to be that. And Elijah tells him, he said, if you see me when God takes me, then you will inherit that double portion. But if not, you'll not. It's not his. It's up to God to see. But it's like, if you stick with me all the way to the end, wherever God sends me, whatever comes, then you will receive that inheritance. And that's what Ruth says here. Where you go, I'll go. When she saw that she steadfastly minded with her, she left off speaking to her. She quit trying to dissuade her. She says, all right, she really wants to go. She's going to stick it. No easy believism. This is, when we tell people about Christianity, don't tell them it's easy. Because it's not. It costs you everything. Jesus Christ said, you'll have to take up your cross and follow me. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Because she left 10 years ago. And then she shows up and everybody's like, what? Is this Naomi? Boy, you've aged. She's like, I've had a hard time. This has been tough days. But they said, Naomi is back after all these years? Bethlehem's a small town. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Again, the name is important. She said, don't call me pleasure or pleasantness. She said, call me Mara. Call me bitterness. So that would be a better name for me. A more fitting name would be bitter, not pleasant. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Yes. She's had a tough life. She's lost her husband. She's lost her son. She's totally impoverished. Now she's having to make this journey back with just this one daughter-in-law who's accompanied her. And she said, oh, God has just treated me terribly. Little does she know, God has a plan for her prosperity. God is taking good care of her. God is using these circumstances to bring her home where she really needs to be. I went out full. She said, when I left, I thought everything was great. I had a husband. I had two little boys. I thought, hey, everything is wonderful. But she left. And I'm not blaming her. She followed her husband. That was fine. But it didn't bring about good results. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She left with a husband and two sons. Now she's come back empty. But she doesn't realize the blessing she has in Ruth. Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with which returned out of the country of Moab and came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So she thinks that God is just being mean to her. But God has used these circumstances to turn Naomi back home, to come back to the promised land, back to her people, back to where they worship the God of the Bible. Back to where the sacrifices are offered. Back where the priests are. Back where the law of God is known. Bring her back to that. Even though she's lost her husband and her sons and her living, he's brought her back to that. And he's also brought with her this Moabitish, this pagan woman, Ruth. But Ruth has seen something in her. She's seen her God and says, your God will be my God. I want to go and be back with you. And so they come back at just exactly the right time. They walked back into Bethlehem, the city of bread, right at barley harvest. They've come out of the desert and walked in just as they're harvesting the field, just as that harvest is beginning. So the prosperity is there. God has it waiting for. Well, that's us. God calls us back. I mean, we may have strayed away. We've gone wrong. But God uses those circumstances to make us realize we've gotten away from him. And we need to turn back and go because that's where bread is. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He said that. He said, I am the bread. And in the Lord's Supper, he did. He said, "This, the bread is my body, the wine is my blood. He who eats of me shall not hunger." He told the woman at the well about the living water that he could give, that you would thirst no more. Jesus Christ is that. And Jesus Christ, this is all looking forward to and the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, who is the true bread that came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And now she's come back, and we're going to get to see as we go through this book the great way that God provides for these two widows and the great picture that God draws to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our true bread from heaven.